the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys.
Hey,
good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Woohoo!
Real happy Friday because we're heading to a four-day holiday.
Yeah.
I hope a lot of folks are, too.
Yeah, not everyone is, but those who are, thumbs up.
Indeed.
Those who aren't will be thinking about you.
A little bit. Oh. Not much.
Well, let's just, how about praying for you?
Okay.
We'll start with a prayer.
All right.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, your martyrs profess their faith by shedding blood. Give us a faith, O Lord, that is constant and pure. Your martyrs followed in your footsteps by carrying the cross. Help us to endure courageously the misfortunes of life. Give us the faith, trust, and courage to do your will. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And the reason we prayed that prayer was it's the feast day of the first martyrs of the Church of Rome.
I imagine that's a ton of them.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of folks
so many
who are asking for prayers.
That's, they don't even name them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right. We'll learn more about them later on in today's show. Starting off with some events in our listening area, we will give you details about. All of these events can be found on our website right now at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Gary Zimak joins us. He's a Catholic author and speaker. And today we're going to be focusing on Abraham as a model of faith. So Gary always has some wonderful insights for us, especially to get us going for the weekend on the right foot and a good Friday. So looking forward to Gary. And in 35 minutes, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us with a wonderful recipe, I'm sure.
Boiled
and in
shrimp.
48. Oh,
yes.
Perfect.
Yeah,
that
because we
great.
Need to boil them, let them cool off, and then you have this nice, wonderful, yeah.
I love that. There we go. And in 48 minutes, Dr. Lawrence Feingold joins us. He's a Catholic author, and he's talking about his book called The Eucharist, Mystery of Presence, Sacrifice, and Communion. We're also going to be talking a little bit about the Eucharistic Revival, and he also has a course on the Eucharist on Emmaus Academy, which we talked about a few weeks ago, but if you didn't tune in for that show, we'll touch on it a little bit on how you can participate and be a part of Emmaus Academy. Really cool program. So looking forward to today's show. Damian, looking forward to your weather report. How is it looking for the 4th of July weekend?
Well, let's just say today is going to be the hottest day of the year.
Thank you. It's only going to get better from here?
It hopefully will.
Okay.
Today
okay.
is 101. That's the projected temperature. When and the heat 101. Index is about 117. There's really no wind, no rain. I think I can make a song after that.
I think there is a song like that. Yeah.
But I guarantee you, you will sweat. Okay? So tomorrow, it only will be 100. So it looks like it will be a little more promising for the 4th of July weekend.
Oh, just really cooling down, yeah.
10% chance of rain tomorrow, a stray shower here and there. Sunday and Monday, temps will be in the upper 90s, 20% chance of rain, winds out of the south-southwest at about 5 to 10. And then for the 4th of July, a 40% chance of rain. But again, none of this rain is going to be constant. It'll be hit and miss, stray shower here and there. Shouldn't ruin any barbecue or pool plans you have outdoors with the family. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Home of Thibodeau and Covington, both reporting 81 degrees. It's 83 in Gulfport. Baton Rouge, it's 82. And New Orleans, already a sweltering 86.
Ooh.
All right. We do have events coming up, so don't go too far. It's 5 after the hour on this Friday morning, the last day of June, on Wake Up.
Music. A good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. Then a leper approached, did him homage, and said, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." He stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do will it. Be made clean." His leprosy was cleansed immediately. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Leprosy. Oh, it's such an apt image of sin. It's ugly, dirty, disgusting, frightful, contagious, deadly, and disfiguring. Leprosy was a terrifying disease in the ancient world because there was no known cure. The great fear was that any physical contact would transmit the disease. Lepers were cut off from society, forced to live out their existence alone while they witnessed the rotting of their own bodies. The dreadfulness of this disease is evidenced in the prescription of Leviticus. Quote, "The leper who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let their hair on their head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lips and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease, for he is unclean, and he shall dwell alone in a habitation outside the camp." The leper in today's gospel is drawn to Jesus, the source of life. He kneels before Jesus with great boldness and cries out, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." Symbolically, his plea represents the desperate cry of every sinner. The use of the vocative reveals the leper's trust and submission. He acknowledges Jesus' lordship and surrenders to the divine plan for his life. What a dazzling prayer. Jesus responded, "I will do it. Be made clean." The leprosy immediately left him. Jesus' gesture of touching the leper is particularly meaningful. The Son of God ignored the smell and the filth of leprosy to touch the body and reach the heart of this forgotten man. Jesus is equally willing to dirty himself to cure our sinfulness. That God is so willing to strip himself of his glory on our behalf is just breathtaking. This amazing reality prompted St. Paul to write to the Philippians, "Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sayers.
Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Father Chris. Thank you for tuning in to Wake Up and tuning your heart to the truth. Thanks for watching us in Baton Rouge on Catholic Life TV. And here are some events you may want to make note of, because really some interesting situations going on in and around our area, like our good friend Alan Migliorato. That's
Yay.
Right, the author of the book Failing Forward and the Manly Art of Raising a Daughter. Well, our friend Big Al is going to be in Mandeville at Mary Queen of Peace Church, and that's going to be in August 24th and 25th, but we wanted to give you all a heads up and break the news to you as soon as we could. And he's going to be focusing on some key issues teens and parents are faced with in today's world. On the 24th, which is a Thursday night, he'll be speaking strictly to adults and parents. Then on the 25th, he'll be talking directly to teens and parents. So the title of both talks is Raising Catholic Teens, Is It Mission Impossible? The talks will be from 6:30 to 8:30, as I said, Mary Queen of Peace Church in Mandeville, and that's just off the West Causeway approach. For more info, ccmedia.live is where you need to approach to get the info.
I'm looking forward to seeing him in person.
Yeah.
It's almost like a family member. You know, you're going to see a cousin that you've only written to or something, you know?
He's
written to.
I guarantee you we'll be eating some Italian food.
Yes. Yes.
When Big Al gets to town.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Anyway, written to. Yes, Gabby, written to. Hotel Hope is a 24-room motel that shelters homeless mothers and children. And it's in the former Crescent Plains Motel, and that's on Martin Luther King in New Orleans. And Hotel Hope provides a temporary home, a secure location for families, while assisting the mothers in finding sustainable employment and permanent housing. And with no license to cook meals for guests, there's a need for volunteers to deliver evening meals for families. It's easy to do because I do something the equivalent occasionally for the folks here in Baton Rouge. And you just do a large aluminum tray of a casserole or something. And they're also needed to staff the front desk in four-hour shifts. If you'd be interested in providing a meal or being a concierge, please call Janet Myers. And for more information, ccmedia.live.
Yeah. Well, while David is writing letters and to putting Alan? Them in the yes. mailbox yes. to his Stop. Family members, we're on social media. You can follow us on social media on Facebook and Instagram at Catholic Community Media, on Twitter at LA Catholic Media, and of course on YouTube at Catholic Community Media as well. So lots of ways to connect with us online.
It's a lost art, Gabby. It's a lost art.
Well, okay. You're keeping it alive. Glad to hear it.
There you go.
Yeah. Yes, you are. For the truth? Well, you can take part in the summer series, which has already gotten underway. In fact, it got underway a few days ago. Our own Father Chris Decker was the initial speaker to kick that off. It's going to be continuing at the Beta Brewery from 6:30 to 8:30. The next talk will be by Father Josh Rodrigue, and it's on discernment of spirits, and that's going to be July 12th again at Abita Brewery from 6:30 to 8:30. It's part of the Thirsty for the Truth summer series.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
I'll drink to that. It's only $5 to go.
That sounds yeah. real good. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to continue?
Me. Oh, yeah. It's me. Again.
I mean, I'll fill in for you.
I'm sorry.
Are you busy writing letters?
Well, look, you said something
he
about
is.
Thirsty
That's
and beer, and I'm gone.
Long.
Well, I just thought you were writing a letter already.
Hope this letter finds you well.
Well, let's just say we'll save whatever you were going
okay,
to share.
It's really good stuff.
Well, right. We'll save that for another time.
Okay.
In the meantime, our good friend Gary Zimek is coming up. He is going to be talking to Gabby, and we'll find out what's happening in his world as Wake Up moves on. 15 after the hour on this Friday, folks. Get up, get going. 4th of July is not far away.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 30th. Today, we celebrate the first martyrs of the Church of Rome. Wherever the good news of Jesus was preached, it met the same opposition as Jesus did, and many of those who began to follow him shared his suffering and death. In the year 64, more than half of Rome was destroyed by fire. Blame for the tragedy lay with Emperor Nero, who had part of his palace burned down in order to enlarge it. In turn, he shifted the blame to Christians and ordered them to be arrested and executed. Christians who could be identified were rounded up. Many were tortured. Some were even crucified. Peter and Paul were probably among the victims. According to the historian Tacitus, a great multitude of Christians were put to death because of what he called their hatred of the human race. The testimony of Tacitus, who seems to have viewed all Christians as enemies, suggests they were made the scapegoats for the fire. Although we don't know their identities or even an exact number of how many lost their lives, we honor their heroic sacrifice. The blood of martyrs has always been, and will always be, the seed of Christians. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our first guest today is Gary Zimek. Gary is a good friend of Catholic Community Media. He's a Catholic author and speaker, and today we're talking about Abraham as a model of faith for us. Good morning, Gary. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, Gabby, it's always great to be with you, especially since today we get to talk about Abraham. I love the story of Abraham.
You know, even when I was a child, I understood that Abraham went through a lot. He had a very strong faith. And, you know, when I went through Bible in a year and we really, really got to examine the passages in the scripture of the story of Abraham and his faith with our Lord, it wasn't until then that I was like, okay, this is something that's deeper here. And you're right. He's a really good model for our faith life, someone who's never really strayed away from what the Lord has said. So kind of tell us a little bit about what you'll be talking about today.
Yeah, well, you know, this it got me thinking this week because the first reading from Daily Mass earlier this week, I guess on Monday, and then throughout next week, it's all about Abraham, the story of Abraham. And it's such a great story. And as a person who has worked in full-time ministry for close to 12 years, after leaving the software industry where I worked for 30 years, I can sort of relate to what the deal was with Abraham. When God said to him, and Gabby, I think that so many of our listeners can relate to this on one level or another. When God said to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis, Abraham, I want you to leave your homeland, come with me, and we're going to go to a land where I will show you. In other words, I'm not telling you where we're going. I just want you to take that first step. And that's where all of us, I believe, are called every day, to take that next step. Where are we going today, Lord? I'll let you know when we get there. You know, are we willing to do that? Or are we afraid? Now, the cool thing about Abraham is if you look at his story, he did waver sometimes. He had a strong faith, but he messed up, you know. And I think one of the first things that happened was as soon as he began to follow the Lord to this unknown destination, there was a famine, and they went down. He and his wife Sarah went down to Egypt, and Abraham said, "Look, if they find out you're my wife, they're going to end up killing me. So we need to pretend that you're my sister." So he trusted, but then he wavered every now and then. But ultimately, he got to the point where God, and I think this is such a great lesson for us, where God said to him, Abraham, you're going to have many descendants. I gave you a son. His name is Isaac. Now I need you to sacrifice that son, even though those descendants hadn't come yet. Abraham was willing to do it because, as the letter of Hebrews says, he believed that God could even raise someone from the dead. That kind of faith doesn't happen overnight, but I think if we look at that story of Abraham and how his faith developed once he took that initial step, I think that can inspire all of us to maybe take that step, whatever it is today, and trust in God and his providence.
Mm-hmm. And you're so right. Well, he was human, you know, so of course he messed up every now and then, like we do as well. But I'm thinking about those who just have dark cloud that always seems to follow them. They're really trying. They're going through really tough times. How, Gary, because you have gone through this before, many of us have, you've talked about it in your book, how can we trust in God when we have that little dark cloud that keeps just negative things keep happening? We're really trying to, we believe in God. We know he has all good things for us. How do we do that?
Gabby, here's what I think. I think we can follow the example of Abraham and stay in touch with the Lord every day. And this is the thing. Look, I face discouragement at some point every day. Every day, something discourages me or I lose my hope. I mean, these feelings, they come and go. I can't control them. But what I can control is my choice, my decision to trust, to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't know where you're going. I don't know what is going on. But I'm going to choose to trust you. And, you know, Gabby, I think that over time, as you continue that relationship with him, you begin to have greater confidence in him, and you're more willing to believe that something good can come out of this, even if I don't see it.
Most definitely. Well, we're actually going to be talking about later on in today's show, Eucharistic devotion, more on the Eucharistic revival, and the Eucharist can be a source of peace for many of us. And as Catholics, that is the center of our faith, is the real presence of the body and blood. Going to the Adoration Chapel and having that discussion with Jesus, or in Mass, or even in prayer at your home and or wherever you are, and having that conversation with our Lord. But talk about how the Eucharist can bring us closer to God, and how He can help us through Eucharistic adoration to trust in Him a little bit more.
Oh, man. How much time do we have? I know we're time is limited. But look, right after this interview, I'm going to Mass. My family and I were going to daily Mass. I don't know how I could live without daily Mass, and I realize that not everybody can do that. I'm blessed to be able to do it, but that connection with Jesus, you know, especially if we can receive Him in the Eucharist every day, that's how you get to know Him. That's how you get to have greater confidence in Him. That's how your faith becomes a little more closely related to the faith of Abraham. But like you said, if you can't get to daily Mass, or even if you can, adoration, if you can find an adoration chapel, even if it's just to stop in on the way to work. I used to do this when I was working in the software industry. I'd stop for 5 minutes on the way to work, and then on the way home, I'd stop and just say hi to Jesus. That's life-changing, and that's how this faith begins to grow, just like Abraham. You keep that connection with the Lord. You walk with Him every day, and then you start to really begin to see His presence in everything that happens to you.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about those who are experiencing dryness in prayer. We know St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta has experienced that. Many of the saints have experienced that. Any advice or guidance that you can give us for those who are going through that right now and really struggling?
Yeah, so when I'm giving this advice today, I'm giving it to myself too, because I'm one of those people today. It happens all the time. What I would say is be faithful to your prayer time. Change it up if you have to, maybe switch it up, try a different devotion, just sit there in the presence of the Lord and do what you have to do, but don't stop talking to Him, even if you feel nothing, because He's going to let you do it. He's going to let you go through those dry periods sometimes, because He wants to make sure, and I don't like this because I love the consolations that He gives me, but He wants to make sure we're not just coming to Him because it feels good and we get those good feelings. He wants us to come to Him and grow in faith so that we're willing to do it strictly out of love, even if we get nothing in return. But if you're struggling, if you're in the desert right now, if you're going through that dry period, keep going, and eventually those good feelings are going to come back.
Yeah, it does get better. So what's next, Gary? You're always writing a new book that's helping so many people overcome anxiety, fear, and worry. What's next in the works for you?
Well, actually, you know, in another week, I'm headed down to EWTN. I haven't been down there in a while. I'm going to film a couple of episodes of At Home with Jim and Joy Pinto, so I'm excited to get back to the network. And also, I'm working on an Advent devotional, similar to a Give Up Worry for Lent. This is kind of
nice.
It's going to be technically, tentatively titled Finding Peace in Advent. That's going to be coming out next year.
What a great way to start off an Advent, Gary. That is fantastic. Oh, I'm sorry. It's David. Hey, Gary.
I try my best, brother. Hey, I'm trying.
That is nice.
That's amazing. And let's talk about your website, too. You have so many other resources. You have so many books that have helped people, like I said earlier, with overcoming anxiety. You and I have had very candid conversations on our anxiety and our willingness to give up control and give it to the Lord on a daily basis. So talk about some of your books that people can look into if they're experiencing something like that.
Absolutely. The latest is When Your Days Are Dark, God Is Still Good. I'm getting a lot of good feedback on that book. That's helping people to see the goodness in really bad situations. Plus, I have all of my other books. They're all linked on the website. Stop Worrying and Start Living is a 366-day devotional. It even covers February 29th. So that's for anybody who worries and is looking for relief. But, Gabby, the thing that's really touching people is my daily email reflection. I didn't realize the impact that this is having on people. The list just keeps getting longer and longer. And I did a bit of a fundraiser last week saying that, you know, I need some support to keep this thing going. And man, people really responded. So It's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It's a daily email reflection. I send it out every day. It's a very short read. There's no charge at all, and you could find out how to sign up just by going to followingthetruth.com and providing your email address.
Love that. I get those as well. Thank you so much, Gary, for joining us. Gary Zimmet, Catholic speaker and author. Where can we go to find out more information on your books and your daily email reflections and so much more?
Gabby, the best place is to go right to my website, followingthetruth.com.
Thank you so much, Gary. Looking forward to speaking with you next time. Have a happy 4th of July weekend with you and your family.
Thank you so much. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Gary. Well, let's talk about this event that I think is very important that we didn't have a chance to mention it earlier, and that is Springs in the Desert. Again, you can find this event at our calendar at ccmedia.live. It's sponsored by the Archdiocese of New Orleans Office of Marriage and Family Life, and they're partnering to offer Cherished, a retreat for those in a season of infertility, happening July 7th through the 8th at the St. Joseph's Abbey Retreat Center. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information on Springs in the Desert. Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us when we return from the break. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Half past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. And Jeff Young is joining us because it is the weekend, and it is the 4th of July weekend. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How you doing?
I am hotter than a firecracker. So,
I was able to escape the heat down there.
Oh, really? Okay. Down there? Wait a minute. Where are you?
I'm at the Franciscan University of Steubenville.
Oh, come on. Really?
So I missed it. Look, yesterday morning I woke up, it was 59 degrees.
Oh, you know what? This conversation's over. Jeff, go ahead and just say, we'll call somebody. That is just wrong. Really? Wow. Now, I think it's already 150. Is that not right, Damian? What is it?
Not quite.
Okay. All right.
We're still in the 80s right now.
All right. Well,
it will be 100.
We have some of that Canadian smoke, though.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
we've been having some fog. That's not fog. It's smoke.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, look, what I would like to do this weekend is to cool off. I figured if I do a little cooking, maybe even inside or something like that, and eat something that can be chilled or something. That's what the direction I wanted to go in, and I wanted you to help us out with that. And I know you and I talked earlier, and we talked about boiled shrimp. And I'm always looking for the perfect boiled shrimp, because if you don't get it right, it doesn't peel right. You need to give us some tips.
Well, here's a question, just to toss this out there. What if the perfect boiled shrimp isn't boiled shrimp?
Well, you know what?
What if it's steamed shrimp?
Oh, really? Let's see. I don't know. Have you done that?
I have.
Okay. All right.
You know, we did. You know, we boil shrimp. We had boiled shrimp over the years. You know, and it is. I think almost down to the seconds.
Yeah, it's a science.
It's just so easy to overcook the boiled shrimp, and a lot of times, you know, the solution. A lot of folks, you're boiling shrimp. The solution to try to prevent overcooking them is to dump ice into it as soon as you cut the heat,
right?
So you can chill the pot and keep them from becoming too hard to peel or mushy to overcook. Mm-hmm. But what I have found is that steaming shrimp is a little more forgiving.
Okay.
And there's something about steaming them where the flavor that's coming through the steam really can kind of penetrate to the inside of that shrimp in a way that doesn't happen when the shrimp are boiled. Now, they can happen. It can happen, right? Just like crawfish, it can happen if you allow those shrimp to soak after, but then you're in the danger zone.
Yeah, that was my question for you. If you're going to steam them, how does that flavor get up in there? You're saying it does not?
Steam?
Yeah. I mean,
it penetrates.
It really does get up in there, and it would be just as flavorful as boiled shrimp?
In my opinion,
okay.
Yes.
Oh, now I got to hear how to do this.
Now, you know, you can season them any way you want, right? You can do it as if it was a crawfish boil if you want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But I have really enjoyed just using Old Bay. You know,
okay.
Beer and Old Bay, lemon, a lot of lemon. You had a little water in there, and the shrimp. And so once they are steamed, you know, you can pull those out. You're only steaming them for a couple of minutes. You know, you're just watching for them to turn pink.
Yeah.
And, you know, once they do that, you can pull them. If you want to chill them, you can. And you know, we have a steamer. We have a steamer basket. You know, so that's one thing is just you pull that basket out. It's less messy. You know, it's easier to handle. If you want to transfer that to a large bowl, some kind of container that you can put into the fridge or that you can put ice in, you know, either way to cool them off and ice them, you can do that. So it's from a process perspective, I think it's easier to deal with than actually put them in the water. But to each his own, you know.
Interesting. Okay. So you really must have to really put the flavors down into the water that's going to steam up. I imagine pretty concentrated flavors just so that they could get in the shrimp, right?
Yes, but there's Old Bay in the water and beer that is boiling.
Beer,
but
okay.
But also there's Old Bay on the shrimp too, right? And so there's lemon in the water boiling, but I also put lemon, especially after the fact, lemon onto the shrimp too.
Okay.
So it's not that it's not an either or thing, Dave. This is the Catholic cooking process, right?
It's both hands. That's right. But you know, with shrimp, you know, they're not as forgiving. So you screw up 10 pounds of shrimp. That's going to be kind of tough. That's I guess the Catholic part is the redemptive suffering when you have to throw out 10 pounds of shrimp. You can offer it up. All right. What else can we cook for the 4th of July weekend? Do you have any other ideas?
Well, now that I'm like totally sidetracking everything, right?
So you really derailed me with the steam. So
let me really rock your boat.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I made this past, like last week. I had my parents were coming over, and it was kind of like a belated Father's Day celebration and all of that. And I wanted to do pulled pork.
Okay.
So I had this pork butt, you know, and usually I have like a Kamado Joe, so you can go and smoke the thing outside and do all that.
Wow.
But I didn't want to wake up at like 2 a.m. to have this done and to have it ready. So I did a little research, and I have one of those instant pots. Now, we've talked about that in the past, right? This pressure cooker thing. And so I looked up, you know, if I could do it in the instant pot, and there was this recipe. It's like the best pulled pork ever kind of a thing, right? And so I tried it. Well, no, this one had almost 400 five-star reviews.
Oh, okay.
I was very, very curious to see if it worked. Mm. Well, let me tell you. It was the best. It was better than having that thing on the Kamado. And I think part of it is, you know, when you're using an Instant Pot, it's that pressure cooker thing, right?
Yeah.
It was only the process itself was hour and a half total.
Probably. Wait. You're talking Boston butt, right? You're talking that cut of meat only took an hour and a half. Because, I mean, on the pit, that's going to take you a good 10, 12 hours to get tender. Easy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you're talking about pressure cookers here. You're talking about the Instant Pot. So you're cooking it high pressure for an hour. And so it's only 60 minutes actually in there. Well, actually with the pressure on, right? And then you allow the pressure to release slowly, naturally, which takes about 20 minutes or so.
Okay.
So it's about an hour and 20 minute cook time. But then there's you want to brown it first, right? So you're searing it all the way around, browning it all the way around first, and then scraping up that little, you know, that little gratin.
That good stuff.
You know? And that good, that's where all that flavor is. And you add a little water. I mean, I'm sorry, not water, a little chicken broth in there. And you've already, of course, seasoned the meat really well. And let that thing cook. When it comes out, it's like butter.
Wow.
It was just so...
All right. But you don't have that smoky flavor?
So
what do you do for all those? You know, because you're missing out on that, right?
The recipe called for a combination of Worcestershire and liquid smoke. Now, I have a certain aversion to liquid smoke, so I left it out.
Okay.
But I can imagine that and it's only a small amount, just a small amount, but I left it out.
Yeah.
If you use the liquid smoke with the Worcestershire, what they're saying is that replaces that
smoky flavor that you're missing out on.
Flavor. Okay. Yeah, but you can, after the fact, you know, you can dress it up with barbecue sauce if you want, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But it was a big hit, put it that way, and it will definitely be repeated.
Okay, now, can you find that recipe and send it to us? Because
I love grilling,
all right? But when it's 100 degrees outside and my pit's only, you know, a few hundred degrees more, sometimes I want to do it inside. So that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes I might have to take this indoors and do that. So, yeah, send us that recipe if you would so that Gabby can post that on Facebook and we can share that with others who want to stay inside where the heat index is 72 degrees. That's what I'm talking about.
That's
right. So. All right. Well, Jeff Young, where can we find you?
CatholicFoodie.com is the home base, but you know, just check Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all those places.
You are everywhere. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Enjoy your time up there in Steubenville. How long are you staying?
Come back tomorrow. I've been here all week. It's been great. A seminar on the philosophy of Dietrich von Hildebrand.
Oh,
so it's something right up my alley.
All right.
Me and philosophy in the kitchen.
Yes, indeed.
Nice.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for joining us. Jeff, we appreciate you.
God bless you.
All right. It is 45 past the hour. When we come back, Damien is going to be talking the Eucharist.
Happy Friday again, everyone. 12 minutes before the top of the hour, and you're listening to Wake Up. With us now is our guest, Dr. Lawrence Feingold. He is a Catholic author. He's here to talk about his book entitled The Eucharist, Mystery of Presence, Sacrifice, and Communion. And so we're going to find out all about that and more. Dr. Feingold, welcome to Wake Up.
Thank you for having me.
Well, glad to have you. So tell us, you know, this is the, we're in the midway point just about or beginning the second phase of the Eucharistic revival. Your book is very timely, but it seems that it might be rather in-depth for a lot of readers, especially if I'm not mistaken, it's over 800 pages.
No,
600.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
600. Okay.
Only 600. But really, the purpose of the book, how would you describe getting the book versus reading the catechism on the Eucharist?
Reading the catechism is obviously a great idea. I love the catechism. Mm-hmm. The idea of the book is to go into more depth. So it starts, the first chapter poses one simple question: why did Jesus institute the Eucharist?
Okay.
And what I suggest is there are three reasons. He's our bridegroom, right? So John the Baptist identified himself as the friend of the bridegroom, Jesus the bridegroom, the church is his bride. And Jesus wanted to give to his bride gift of himself, right? So that's what the Eucharist is. He knew he would, he'd celebrate the night before he died, right, the Last Supper. He knew he would rise, but he also knew he would leave this world with his visible presence at the Ascension, and so he wanted to give his church the gift of himself, but in a hidden way, in a way that he's totally present, all of him, his humanity as well as his divinity, but veiled during this time of our exile until the second coming. So it's presence. That's the first reason.
Yeah.
Spouses dwell together. But secondly, he was about to die for his bride,
mm-hmm.
for his church on Good Friday, and he wanted to give to his bride the very sacrifice by which he died for her so that we can offer it. And so this is a second dimension of the Eucharist that I think many Catholics don't have very well in mind, that it's the same sacrifice as Calvary, mysteriously made present on our altars in a veiled way. So just as his presence is a mm-hmm. veiled presence, so the sacrifice of Calvary is made present under sacramental veils, we could say, but truly made present so that we can join in the offering and offer our lives with Jesus to the Father, and thus give to the Father an offering that by ourselves we could never make, an offering that's more pleasing than all sin is displeasing.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's
third,
where...
And he give himself
yeah,
to
and
that's Holy Communion.
That's communion, exactly. So, and yeah. that's the
so
greatest
that's why the
gift.
The title is Mystery, okay. Presence, Sacrifice, and Communion.
I'm with you.
Sorry,
and
I went on too long there?
the greatest gift God gives us is to the church is himself through the Eucharist. Right. And that's how we develop that true loving relationship, because we come and we give intimate of ourselves and our sins to him.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it enables us to bring all of our life to the Eucharist. I think many Catholics just think of the Eucharist as something, at best, we do for an hour on Sunday morning. But it should involve the whole of our lives, because we bring the whole of our lives to the altar, and then we receive Jesus so that the whole of my life can be living with him.
Beautiful.
That is a beautiful way to put it, and especially like we're coming on to the weekend, so just holding this thought into Sunday, because a lot of times, or even throughout the weekend if we're going to Mass,
right?
But a lot of times it's merely, and I heard it described this morning earlier on the radio, people just going up for a little free meal handout and going home, and we want to get beyond that,
be the
right?
The whole of life.
Yes, right.
St. Paul says in Romans 12:1 to offer our bodies as a spiritual sacrifice. And we can do that with Jesus. He offers his body in the Mass, and we can offer with him what we do in our bodies, and that is our whole Christian life. The only thing we can't offer is sin, right? And that's why we have another sacrament, penance. But the best thing we can offer, actually, in the Eucharist is our sorrow over our sin, and Jesus then feeds us with his loves so that we can be more configured to him and avoid sin in the future better.
Yeah, and we could receive him daily if we so choose, and that too is a beautiful gift that the church gives us. So we're talking to Dr. Lawrence Feingold about the Eucharist. Doc, why do you feel that Catholics have trouble believing in the Eucharist, indeed the presence, the sacrifice, and the communion of God? All the more reason they should read your book. But okay. why
why
is that?
Has
the church
too big for us?
No.
I mean, we have trouble because Jesus gives us a gift that's in his proportion to him, and not to us. Right? It's proportion to his love. And so it's hard to believe that we're loved so much he would want to be with us always in his body and the whole of his humanity, wherever there is a tabernacle, and that he would want to enable us to be present at Calvary, as it were, in every Mass, and offer ourselves with him, and that he would want to give us his very self, and not just the symbol of himself, as in all other religious rites. It means believing in his love.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that those who are challenged, if nothing else, pray and ask that the Holy Spirit give them the gift or the acceptance of the Eucharist?
And that's the way I would put it, to help me to believe in the truth of your love for us in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Let me just put in one more plug.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
If the book is too intimidating, there's a course at Emmaus Academy that's much more approachable. And it's 12 half-hour segments in which I kind of summarize 12 of the chapters of the book.
That's what I was going to ask you. How does one find Emmaus Academy?
Yeah, so you can just Google stpaulcenter.com or even Emmaus Academy, St. Paul Center. And you'll see a number of courses there. I think they've got, they work 12 up at the moment and more to come. And I think it's a great way for lay Catholics to go deeper into the faith, and to do it not just with a book, but with a live voice and a video presence.
Well, a lot of folks in our area, listening area, know who Brant Petrie is. Mm-hmm. He's a professor of Sacred Scripture at Notre Dame Seminary. And he gave you a true compliment, because he said about your book, this work will be essential reading for anyone interested in Eucharistic theology for decades to come.
Wow.
And that's just a small sentence that he said. He really recommends your book. I'm sure it'll be in a lot of seminaries as well as colleges that are focusing on theology.
Yeah, thank you. Well, let me plug his book, The Jewish Roots of the Eucharist.
It is, yes. That's a good one. That's a classic. Yep.
All right. Well, Dr. Lawrence Feingold, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for the work that you're doing and bringing the Eucharist to the forefront and getting folks to understand it better, because it is the body and blood of Christ, and I hope all will come to believe it.
Amen. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great 4th of July weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Okay, you too. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And by the way, I want to salute Bishop Munch.
Okay.
He celebrated his 33rd Mass anniversary yesterday as bishop, and even though he's retired.
Hey, Bishop Emeritus of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Right?
And 58 years as a priest.
Wow.
So congratulations and many more years to come, Bishop Munch. It was good seeing you yesterday. That was at Christ the King.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Father Andrew Merrick, that was one of his last masses before he heads to St. John,
in Prairieville.
All right. We'll wrap up with a prayer to get our weekend started. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Holy Spirit, beloved of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten me, guide me, strengthen me, console me. Tell me what I should do. Give me your orders. I promise to submit myself to all that you desire of me and accept all that you permit to happen to me. Let me only know your will. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Wake Up returns on Wednesday, July 5th. Have a wonderful Friday and a great 4th of July weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.